This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Appalachian Institute at Wheeling Jesuit University hosted a panel discussion last evening about the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan. The new rule seeks to reduce carbon emissions in the U.S. 37% by 2030 as compared to 2005 levels. Glynis Board spoke with panelists and bring us this report.
The panel is one of many events the Appalachian Institute is offering designed to generate understanding about controversial and consequential matters in the state. The panel discussion was called Speaking Truth to Power. Panelists included Associate Professor of Law at West Virginia University and the Director of the Center for Energy and Sustainable Development, James Van Nostrand. He's worked over the years to explore viable scenarios in which West Virginia could comply with proposed federal guidelines.
Well, we haven't done the analysis to show how we can get to 37% under the final rule, but based on our analysis of the proposed rule, it's doable. I mean, it's gonna cause disruption. The coal plants that we have are going to run less because we just need to have less, lower carbon emissions.
Van Nostrand ran through possible reactions to the rule, which include litigation, legislation, retaliation, and, as Van Nostrand was most apt to encourage, innovation.
We have the resources to scale up energy efficiency, to scale up co-firing with coal, scale up combined heat and power. And so I think it can be done, but it's going to be a different future.
Van Nostrand talked about this week's announcement by Governor Tomlin that West Virginia would be creating a compliance plan as opposed to simply retaliating with a just-say-no stance to the carbon regulations. A retired coal miner and the author of Unfit to Be a Slave, David Green, was the other panelist. He spoke about community coping mechanisms in the face of economic change. He says now more than ever, community members need to be critical thinkers, questioning all sources of information and decision makers.
A Greek playwright, Euripides, said, question everything, he said, and answer nothing. Now, I'm not sure you have to answer nothing, but I think questioning everything is a good starting point.
Green says being armed with knowledge of history, business realities, and the concerns of your neighbors are key to navigating paths forward in light of a major economic shift like the one we're seeing in the energy sector.
People can learn what they need to. They can get together. They have skills and knowledge. They have perception, a heart and soul. I mean, we could remake the world, but we really need a lot of people.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
The MBA program at Shepherd University hosted a panel discussion in Martinsburg last night that drew a large crowd. The topic, the Affordable Care Act. The goal of the discussion was to look at the good, the bad, and the unknown and discuss how it directly affects West Virginians. Liz McCormick reports.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for being on tonight.
Dozens of people attended the event at the historic McFarland House in Martinsburg. Like most controversial pieces of legislation, the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, has received plenty of attention since it was first enacted in 2010, good and bad. Four panelists from various healthcare organizations were invited to speak Wednesday, both in support of and against the law, more commonly called Obamacare. Louise Reese is the CEO of the West Virginia Primary Care Association and was one of the four speakers. She says it's highly unlikely the nation will see a full repeal of the law, like many opponents have called for.
We have implemented so many components of the Affordable Care Act that trying to repeal or bring it back would create more chaos than it would be to correct the problems. So even if our political change is shifted to more of a Republican base where they would prefer to repeal Obamacare, I don't think that is a reality. But once they begin to look at all of the successes of the program, that it would do more harm than intended if they were to try to repeal it.
Reese believes many who call for the repeal don't fully understand how it works. For West Virginia, Reese says Medicaid expansion alone under the ACA was a game changer.
When people realize that they will have access to primary care, that they can go to have a radiology procedure that they were afraid to have done because of the cost, there is just a tremendous burden taken off their shoulders. So most of the patients that the health centers are serving are thankful when they learn that they will now qualify for Medicaid.
Reese says before the ACA passed, West Virginia had one of the highest rates of uninsured Americans. In the first year of expansion, more than 70,000 West Virginians were able to obtain coverage under Medicaid. The third open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act will begin on November 1st and end in late January 2016. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Some lingering rain showers this morning, becoming partly sunny today. Temperatures in the 50s and low 60s, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 30s. Partly sunny on Friday with temperatures in the 50s and low 60s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
This year, Davis and Elkins College will graduate its first class of students that includes members of its touring string band and dance ensemble. It basically works a lot like a college sports team. The players, in this case musicians and flatfoot dancers, earn scholarships. Roxy Todd recently spent a day hanging out with the Appalachian Ensemble as they were practicing and creating their own style of fusion Appalachian music.
How many basement rehearsal rooms have you been in that literally shake with the pounding steps of 10 flatfoot dancers? If you've never had the pleasure, then you could try imagining a team of tap dancers, add a smidgen more stomping, kicking, laughing, and top it off with a lot of whooping. The students take this wild, rumpus music very seriously, though. The dancers exchange little nods with their string band, a group of five students who play the fiddle, mandolin, guitar, washboard, and banjo. These aren't amateurs. Most of these students have been dancing or playing music since they were young kids. And I might add, DNE has awarded them each about $7,000 a year. As far as we know, there isn't another college or university in the country that awards scholarships for traditional folk music.
Much like a sports team sort of gets the name out to other parts of the country, this ensemble is also doing that, sort of getting the name out for Davis Elkins College.
This is the Appalachian Ensemble's music instructor, Emily Miller. She's been making music at DNE for a long time. In fact, she first came as a 7-year-old kid with her parents to take classes at Augusta, the college's summer workshop series. And Augusta is really what this college is known for around the world. So that's why the college decided DNE should invest in a similar year-round program that teaches heritage arts taught by people like Emily who have a strong connection to Augusta.
The whole administration is just really proud of the idea that we here in the center of the mountains of West Virginia, that we can really be promoting the culture that is so integral to this area.
The students who are selected for the Appalachian Ensemble don't all have a traditional music background. Or if they do, they also bring with them other styles that they play. One of the seniors who's set to graduate this year is a banjo player named Kaya Cater, who came from Quebec.
I remember the first rehearsal, all of us being like, what? You know, because we had all sort of come from really different backgrounds and areas, and we were like, how are we going to make this work? Scotty was like really into French Canadian fiddle music. Rebecca was like really into like swing and jazz at that point. And I was like hyper into old time. And so it was all of these like sort of combinations put together. And we like really disliked each other like the first month and a half, and then we sort of bonded.
Kaya says that growing up and learning to play cello as a kid She never got the chance to be as creative with music as she has learning old-time music on the banjo. A lot of the musicians I talk to who are in the Appalachian Ensemble say they like to pave their own way, too. They like old-time music because there are fewer rules. There's more room for improvisation and creativity than with other conventional forms of music. The dancers bring their different backgrounds to the group, too. On this song, Hangman's Reel, each of the 10 dancers gets to do a solo featuring their favorite style of dance. One young woman tap dances, one of the guys belly dances, and one girl does a traditional Irish dance called Shenos. Kaya Cato remembers that last year at the D&E Dance Festival, there was a real fusion musical moment.
Sort of this improvised tune on stage during the dance festival, and there were several members of the Brooklyn Ballet who came up, and some of them did sort of these artful ballet moves, and other guys just like popped and locked and were doing breakdancing and stuff like that. And I think that it was a really interesting sort of juxtaposition. Just to see those styles converge was incredible, and I think that that's like a very big goal of the program here.
We learn traditional tunes, and I try to teach them a lot of tunes from West Virginia, specifically since we're here. But when we perform them, we very rarely are performing just a straight-up version of any of the tunes.
Again, this is Emily Miller, the student's music teacher.
We arrange it for performance in 2015. You know, we're really looking at making a sharp and exciting performance that's going to excite audiences.
Many weekends, the ensemble is on the road. They have about 20 gigs this year, and they sometimes travel outside the state. The dancers and the musicians in the ensemble all get really tight really quickly. Kaya Cater says it really feels like many of them will still continue to play together after they're at D&E.
And I think that that was one of the goals that they had in mind, was that this new generation of musicians and dancers would stick together and work professionally together. Sort of the bonds that we formed here are outlasting and will outlast our time at this school, you know, so, which is what's happening. It's great.
After she graduates, Kaya plans to continue to tour with her own solo music. Many of the students, like Kaya, write their own music and are interested in producing solo albums. In fact, Kaya spent this last summer on tour to promote her new album, Sorrow Bound. I'm going to leave you with one of the songs off that album. Kaya is playing the banjo.
Running from the rain, finding my way into your big house. Gunning for that train, big machine to take me downtown. I don't need a friend, I won't rest until I'm cold underground. And sorrows encompass me round.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.